The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Mr. Outdoors is here. Greg Roberts at RogueWeather.com, the outdoor report. Report, report, report. Hey, Greg, how you doing this morning? Welcome.
I'm doing great, Bill, and so happy to be here. And of course, yeah, tomorrow, opener of deer season.
Are you going to be going out and trying to get your buck tomorrow, or are you going to wait a little while, or what are you planning?
No, I'm going to wait a little while because I got myself booked to be the MC at an event in Gold Beach, which kicks off today.
Cool.
And they're calling it Legends Fest. But the core of what it actually is a music festival. They have booked one of the top flight Eagles tribute bands who call themselves One of These Nights. They are going to be there. Danielle Kelly Soul Project from here in Medford is going to be there. So we've got a lot of music going on over there. We've got a lot of things for people to see in terms of arts, crafts, other things like that.
And I imagine it'll be beautiful. Beautiful on the coast this weekend.
And in the middle of all of that, we're going to be mixing in some Bigfoot stuff as well.
Of course. I knew you had to go there, right?
Legends Fest. I mean, hey, gotta have it. So they became aware of what I was doing with the sportsman shows and asked me if I'd be interested in being the MC for the event. And so, yeah, I signed on for that. And so I'm going to be going over to Gold Beach, but I'm going to take what I call the scenic route. I'm going to go over Bear Camp Road, which my buddies in the Forest Service and my family who live basically anywhere from Agnes down to Gold Beach said Bear Camp is actually in as good a shape as it's been in years because they did a lot of improving to the road and then they repaved it. So I guess the drive is really good and smooth. And of course, when you can take Bear Camp, what would probably take about 3 hours or so going out 199 and then up 101 will get done in about 2 hours being able to go out Bear Camp.
Oh boy, with Bear Camp in great shape, that's not a bad deal to go. I mean, the last time I went on Bear Camp, I want to say it was a Vanagon trip, and this was about 6-7 years ago. And it was pretty rough at that point in time, if I recall. I mean, it was a lot of bumping around, and it wasn't a particularly smooth travel, if I recall. Not that it ever is in that vehicle, but, you know, I'm getting at.
On the other hand, they did pay some attention to that, and they did a lot of work to improve the condition of the road. It's still what it is. You know, and at one point it looked like I was going to be going over last night and doing the report with you from the beaches of Gold Beach, but other things popped up, and so I'm headed over this morning.
All right, very good. Well, I hope you have a good time out there. As far as we people trapped here in the Rogue Valley this weekend, what should we expect for deer season, the opening deer rifle season?
Well, unfortunately, if you're a deer hunter, it's about the worst possible forecast you can get. We're going to be sunny, dry, and warm slash even hot, especially on Sunday. We don't see what I would call favorable conditions for deer hunting until we get down into the middle, latter part of the month. So we're going to be real happy that our Western Oregon deer rifle season is, you know, 5 weeks long, because it's probably going to be the last half of that season before we get conditions that'll make deer hunters happy. If you're going out east to hunt mule deer, the entire season is going to be the worst kind of conditions because they only have an 11-day season. And throughout the entire thing, we are forecasting well above average temps and absolutely dry. In fact, today, ahead of the season, on the eve of it, we have red flag warnings out that cover all of Klamath and Lake counties. Winds gusting as high as 50 miles an hour, and humidities could be as low as 8%. So, you know, there is a high risk that if a fire got going, especially in grassy areas, and those conditions are happening, you'd be looking at, you know, rapid to explosive growth in any new fire start. So people absolutely need to be careful out there. The coast, Not really the coast, more Coos, Douglas County, the Cascades from Diamond Lake North. We do have a shot at seeing some rain today, and that will include the Gold Beach area. It looks like it will be more shower-type activity, but we do have some. And then tonight, all of that clears out. The system that triggered that is going into Canada. And once that clears the area, we're looking at a good solid week to 10 days of nothing but sunny, warm, and dry.
Okay. Are we ever going to hit actual, I know we're in meteorological fall and astronomical fall too, for that matter, but we've had these, this warm pattern that's been kind of hanging on. Is there like something, some sort of dome that's been hanging over us that's keeping it in this way?
It's our typical summer pattern showing up right now. We've got a really strong omega block that, you know, the system going north into Canada today is actually a pretty powerful system. There's an even stronger system behind that hitting in the Bering Sea that's going to be going into Alaska. And of course, all the talk about Helene, the storm in the Bering is, while it's not officially a hurricane, it is at hurricane strength in terms of the wind it's producing. And also on the open waters, they're seeing up to 40-foot seas out on the open waters. So if you're a fan of Deadliest Catch, that has all the crab boats in shelter wherever they can find it, because there's no way they're going to be out in those seas that are sustaining and holding. From what I'm seeing on the reports from the Coast Guard that they put out, you know, 30 to 40 foot, and that's where they're sustaining. So it's possible you're going to have waves even bigger than 40 feet out there, and no crab boat fisherman, I don't care who they are, wants to be out in that. That storm's going into Alaska. There is that secondary storm out ahead of it, heading into Canada, and like I said, it's going to bring a chance for some showers in Coos and Douglas counties, Cascades from Diamond Lake North, but that's a today thing. And once that clears out, the ridge is going to rebuild over us, and it's going to block anything from getting near us. And, you know, like I said, we're probably 7 to 10 days of that before we start to see something on the horizon. But the longer range tells, the 3 to 4 week type information that we're looking at, there is every indication there that we will see the arrival of fall weather here. And the other thing to note is when you get these types of extremes like this, when it swings the other way, it pretty typically is going to go to the other extreme. So once we get through this, you know, warm, hot, dry conditions, it's highly likely we're going to get into a pattern of cool to cold and wet to very wet, because everything works in cycles and it all will eventually balance out. And, you know, I'm expecting, fortunately for deer hunters on the west side, that will happen within that second half of the season coming up.
And that's when you're going to go out and do your hunting trip. Okay, that makes sense. And, of course, Greg Roberts, once again, RogueWeather.com here with the Outdoor Report. And I just wanted to touch on here, you were kind of laughing at me the other day, because I was talking about on Facebook last night how much I love this time of year, because it's my favorite light. You know, the light with the lower angle sun. And, you know, especially around 5 o'clock, I was just noticing, I'm looking outside, it's just that beautiful light, sort of a soft glow. And it's just because of the low angle sun. I just really enjoy that. And it makes for great picture taking, too. But and I said it's so different from the hornet sun of summer. And you laughed about that.
You know, and what we need now, we need, you know, the trumpet fanfare, we need the voice going, and now meteorology with Bill, because hornet sun, that was great. I'm going to take that. I'm going to be using that in the future, because I'll tell you what, you pretty much nailed it, because our summer sun here, it can definitely put a sting on you, and I'd never heard it described that way before. So a tip of the cap to you, sir,
okay,
for coming up with a really apt meteorological term.
And maybe it will go in there to the dictionary.
Meyer, original.
Well, maybe it'll go into the dictionary right next to bomb cyclone. Remember how they got that overused for while there? Bomb cyclone?
Well, but, you know, that actually, what it was, there's been a long-standing term in meteorological that describe a rapidly deepening low, bombogenesis.
Oh, that's where the bomb came from.
Around a long, long time.
Oh, that's where it came, bombogenesis.
The media was paying attention to a weather briefing, and I can't remember if it was Hurricane Center or who was doing it, but there was a discussion about a storm undergoing bombogenesis, and then somebody finally went, "Oh, wow, what's that?" And media doing what the media does, that immediately became bomb cyclone.
Got it. That's where it came from, sort of morphed from the official meteorological term. Well, very good. Hey, as before we take off here and you head out to the coast here, I don't think you'll have time to do any fishing like you just talked about. How's the fishing going to be like around here with our conditions, huh?
Well, I mean, when you got conditions like this, it's obviously going to be great because the fish know what's coming. And, you know, you get days like this, and the weekend we're going to have, they're going to be on an active bite. And I've talked for years doing the Outdoor Report about a thing called the cast and blast. And what I mean by that is you go out in the mornings, you do what deer hunting you can do, then you hit the evenings, do what deer hunting you can do. But in between, you go to a lake and you start fishing, because middle part of the day in through the afternoon, it's like somebody rang the dinner bell, because the fish will go on a big time bite. And I think the lake I've probably done cast and blast the most at would be Howard Prairie.
Yeah.
But any of our lakes would offer that opportunity. So what I'm saying is, if you're going out to go deer hunting and you're not camping, or if you think about it, throw your fishing stuff in the rig with you, get a cooler, because chances are you're going to have far better luck in the middle part of the day fishing than you will hunting with the conditions we're going to have for sure this weekend and very likely coming up next week for the second weekend of the season. And I've saved my days many times by doing the cast and blast and coming home with a real nice limit of trout. When I left in the morning, it was called officially a hunting trip.
All right. Glad to hear that. And you have a wonderful weekend, and enjoy that time out in Gold Beach. Gold Beach, beautiful time to be out there this time of year. All right.
Yeah, most definitely. And even though there's a risk for some showers today there, tomorrow going to be as beautiful as it gets on the coast, expecting sunny skies and highs in the 60s and 70s all up and down the Highway 101 corridor and the beaches. So, yeah, tomorrow, and, of course, holding on through Sunday. You know, I've always said the best time to go to the Oregon coast and know you're going to have great weather, September and October, and this weekend is just another proof of that.
Yeah, the way I tend to look at the coast is that it is what it is, and if I get a great weekend at the coast as far as weather, it's a bonus. I never count on it, but yeah, this time of year, more so than usual. Greg, take care, and we'll talk next Friday, all right? Thanks again.
You got it, Bill.
Greg Roberts, once again, holding down the fort at rogueweather.com. That is rogueweather.com, and he talks fishing and hunting and various other things. And by the way, the Outdoor Report is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. We appreciate them.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Meyer Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Byless Road on Airway Drive.
American Industrial Door has security and storm shutters and mesh for commercial and residential applications. These shutters protect storefronts, windows, retail counters, product cases, whatever needs instant protection against burglary, vandalism, and severe weather. With a touch of a button, you can secure an entry point or space with style and color. American Industrial Door has affordable scissor gates too. See all the security shutter options at American Industrial Door on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and on Crater Lake Avenue north of Violets Road.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
7:30. We'll catch up on the rest of the news here. Bill London in the KMED News Center. And then taking your calls, we have Gregory Wrightstone is going to join me after 8 o'clock. Gregory Wrightstone, of course, author of a Convenient Warming. I've got the books over on the filing cabinet there right now. But he was the one that came out, has been talking about CO2 and that this is not the threat. This is not the threat. But even in the debate this week, the vice presidential candidates debate this week, they had the CBS news bubblettes going in there and talking about, oh, it's never been serious. And, you know, the hurricane, what happened over in North Carolina, it's obviously climate change, et cetera, et cetera. They do this every time. And the point being, and as tragic as what happened in North Carolina, usually what happens is that we don't have the damage going this far inland. That's just the way it goes normally. And only, I think, about 2% of the people living over in the Asheville area had flood insurance because they normally don't have that problem with flooding. Well, you end up having this hurricane and moving inland and just dumping the equivalent of, several trillion gallons of water in one particular area. It's not because of your SUV. It's where the weather and wind ended up taking it. You know, some things just stuff happens. It's sad. And the thing is that Gregory Wrightstone is a data-driven guy. And he has the actual stats, the hard facts about how many and where these particular weather events are happening. And what CBS News was claiming in that debate just isn't true. But it is reported as fact, and everybody else will. Well, it's kind of like the big lie of the Klamath Dam removal. Oh, the Klamath, it is completed, and now we're going to have clear water running down the Klamath, unless you're actually looking at the Klamath River. But a lot of big lies that have to be pushed back upon. And we're going to do that with Greg after 8 o'clock this morning, okay? Got some stats on the real estate. We'll have a little conversation about that. And also, a little bit of your call, 770-5633, if you wanted to join in. I also want to get to a lot of your emails of the day, because many people talking about what was going on the Rogue River, that hearing that Commissioner Roberts was reporting on yesterday. I'll share some of those coming up, too.
The big 3-day meat sale is going on now. Come into any local Ray's food place and stock up your freezer with beef, chicken, and pork, including these specials. St. Helens ground beef, 73% lean, sold in a 3-pound roll, only $3.29 a pound. Certified Angus beef tri-tip roast, just $4.99 a pound, sold in a twin pack untrimmed. And value pack boneless, skinless chicken breast, $2.69 a pound. These and many other specials going on now through Sunday at your local Ray's food place. Proud to be your local employee-owned grocery store. It's time to run to Ray's.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring what's in your water. It's up to you to be sure that the water you and your family are drinking is safe and free of contaminants. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for a full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. The Oregon State Marine Board held a heated discussion in Medford on a move by environmentalists and riverfront property owners to ban jet boats and other powered watercraft on the Rogue River from Gold Ray Dam to Lost Creek Reservoir. The board has the option to adopt the ban, modify it, or leave things as they are. Rogue Jet Boat Adventures owner Tyler Grimes claims misinformation and propaganda have led to the rule change petition. Supporters say the boats are bad for spawning salmon, other fish, and fishermen. Firefighters continue to battle the Tiger Creek fire east of Milton Freewater in northeastern Oregon. It started as a prescribed burn Monday, and wind pushed the flames well over the established perimeter. A New York man is sentenced to 15 years in federal prison for sexually abusing a Southern Oregon child he met on an online video game. 26-year-old Brent Johnson Jr. traveled to Oregon where he sexually abused the child and recorded it on video. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
This is Brent with Home and Built Deck and Fence. Many customers in the Rogue Valley ask why we say fall and winter are great times for deck, fence, and siding projects. The answer? Faster scheduling, quicker completion, and better prices than next spring. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation now. Home and Built provides top-notch design, quality craftsmanship, and exceptional service. You work hard year-round, and so do we. Visit homeandbuilt.com to see our work. That's HOMANBUILT.com. Home and Built. We build the best and fix the rest.
Two Dogs Fabricating Fall Blowout Sale on their remaining Delco trailer inventory is on. There's three heavy-duty Delco 14-foot dump trailers that are $1,500 off. And there's one 20-foot heavy-duty tilt trailer that's a whopping $3,450 off. Two Dogs is making room for shipments of their new line of heavy-duty Horizon trailers arriving soon. So save on heavy-duty Delco trailers while they last. Limited to stock on hand. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Hi, this is Lisa, the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
736, welcome to Friday morning here, the number 770-5633. We have a little bit of time for some open phones. I want to go over some stories, too. Rogue Valley Association of Realtors ended up just releasing their home prices, and the inventory is continuing to rise, so the supply of homes for sale continues to rise, but the prices are also continuing to rise, too. In most communities around here. I guess this could be that non-existent inflation is still kind of showing up here. But just taking a quick look here, as far as the number of houses sold, yeah, there's more that are sitting on inventory, and it's taking a little bit longer to sell them overall. But prices, when you look at Ashland. Over the last 2 years, housing in Ashland has gone up an average of 14%. Median price home, by the way, is now $615,000. That's the median, which means half or more than that and half or below. That's a 14% hike. Got a 9% hike down in Talent over the last 2 years. Jacksonville, overall, about a 3.5% hike. No, Jacksonville, pardon me. Jacksonville is 5%. Phoenix, about 3.5%. 5% overall boost in pricing over 2 years in Medford overall. Central Point actually dropped 5% median price. 1% down in Central Point, 1.2% down in White City. Eagle Point, 19, almost 20% increase in the two-year median price. They went from $365,000 for the median house to $407,000. Gold Hill, 17% up too. Shady Cove, 11.5% up. Very interesting. And as far as particular cities on, let's see, new construction. Yeah, new construction, the numbers are a little bit less. Yeah, they don't have many numbers on the new construction. Rural. Okay. Jackson County rural homes. If you have big property, up 17%. 5 to 10 acres, only a little over 3% up in 2 years. That could be the bursting of the pot bubble. Could be a little bit of that. And if you have small, under 5 acres, the overall pricing down about 8%. In Jackson County. Mobile homes, single wides are down 7%, double wides are up 7%. So a single wide, bad time to have a single wide, I guess, as far as the price goes. Okay, so there we go. Just a little one. It's interesting that, though, the supply is increasing and the price is increasing also. It's an interesting way of the things going right now. 770-5633. Speaking of housing and disasters and various other things, yeah, we've been focused a lot on what happened with Hurricane Helene. It's just horrible, the tragedy. I guess they're talking 220 or so, 220 plus people that are dead. You know it's going to be a lot more by the time this is all done. Many people just disappeared. But they came out this week, and this did not get a lot of play. Because you remember the Maui wildfire back August of last year? And the conspiracy theories just went absolutely nuts on the cause of the Maui fire. And I got to tell you, you know, people will be writing me, it's directed energy beams, it's this, look at the melting of this, that. I'm sorry, there was nonsense. And I looked at what was happening in Maui as just a different version of what happened for us in Olmeta. With Olmeta. In our particular case, no, it wasn't climate change. It was an arson fire set in a 60-mile-per-hour wind event in a very dry, hot period of the year. They've not solved that, by the way, but you never hear it being reported. Well, the cause of the Maui wildfire. Here we go. August 8th, 2023. Fire started in the afternoon in the same area, and this is it. Deadliest U.S. wildfire that killed at least 102 was a reignition of an earlier morning fire caused by Hawaiian electric equipment damaged by high winds. The utility company admits this. They confirmed it on Wednesday. Firefighters thought that they had put out an earlier brush fire sparked by the downed power lines that they had out there. And it started in the afternoon in the same area as the fire from earlier that morning. And it was driven by strong erratic winds. The fire raced through the historic town of Lahaina, destroyed thousands of buildings, overcoming people trapped in their cars, forcing some residents to flee into the ocean. Maui County Department of Fire and Public Safety Assistant Chief Jeffrey Giese said during a press conference, "We want to make it abundantly clear to the community. Firefighters went above and beyond their due diligence to be confident as they could that the fire was completely extinguished before they left the scene, but it's just not the way it was. The origin and cause report was done with USBATFE, Honolulu Field Office, and National Response Team." And in other words, everybody got together on this, and in other words, it's human error. Human error. And they said, wind was the most likely cause of the fire's rekindling. The ATF's report said investigators could not rule out another possibility that the operator of a bulldozer trying to help firefighters contain the blaze could have unwittingly, in other words, he didn't realize this was going on, he ended up pushing some smoldering debris to the edge of a gully only to have the wind whip those debris back into flames hours later. The owner of the company that provided the bulldozer told ATF investigators less than 2 weeks after the fire that he had shown up because of a friend who had lived nearby asking for help. The owner did not respond to several requests for a follow-up interview, Fox News reports. and neither the owner nor member of his crew have been identified in the report. So there we go. And I know there was conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. And yes, yeah, sometimes the conspiracy theories are, you know, there is something to this. But, you know, sometimes it's just bad things happen to good people because of, well, bad things that people do, whether intentionally or accidentally. And what happened here in Southern Oregon, you know, not climate change. It's an urban fire and a 60-mile-per-hour, almost never happens kind of wind event. That's the reality. You know, if you had had that arson fire without a 60-mile-an-hour wind down by the Ashland Dog Park, it might have been a big deal, but it wouldn't have been what it turned into. That's just the reality of it. Unless you're, well, going down that road that says that they, being the bloodthirsty globalists that want us all dead and enslaved and enserfed and, or, you know, becoming serfs, and they do want that, but there's some little machine that they punch the buttons in and then the wind blows. Maybe they have that, but I would just need a little more evidence than that, all right? It's 7:44. Of course, this weekend, we may have to worry about the computers here and everything else. Cover it. Put on your tinfoil hat. Put on your tinfoil hat. Bill from over in Twin Creeks sent this to me. We have a monster X-class flare that ended up blowing out of the sun. What was it, Tuesday? Yeah, it exploded around the sun, or out of the sun at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, our time. Second most powerful flare of the current solar cycle. And it's an enormous X-class solar flare. And it has thrown out a bunch of solar goop, for lack of a better term. And it's probably going to be hitting the Earth either later today or sometime tomorrow. So if weather and if the satellites go a little fluey or the weather goes out or your phone ends up going out or something like that, could be because of the solar flare. Could actually have some impact on satellite and communications. So keep that in mind, too. All right. All right. And that's not a conspiracy theory Thursday. It's just a find your facts and phone Friday. 7:45. You're on KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point. Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
Jackson County, your vote counts. No postage is needed to mail your ballot. And don't forget to sign your ballot return envelope. Track your ballot after you mail or deposit in an official ballot drop box at oregonvotes.gov/myvote.
Hello, I'm Chris Walker, your Jackson County clerk. For more information, visit jacksoncountyor.gov/elections. Your county clerk's office, making sure your vote counts.
It's the Joe Pag Show.
I don't get what the controversy is. I really don't. The left's argument is, it's already illegal for those who are not citizens to vote. Why do you need this? You need it because when people report about voter fraud, what they say is there was no widespread voter fraud, which already infers that there was some voter fraud, just not enough. They always say that. Not enough voter fraud to change the result of the election, so why do something?
The Joe Pag Show, evening 6 to 8 on KMED. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
7:47, you know, since we were talking about arson fires and what happened with Maui and Almeda here, I just wanted to give you another kind of related story. The dumb story in the media today, and this is in the Rogue Valley Times, actually came from Oregon Capital Chronicle. Oregon struggles to recover more than 24 million people or $24 million from people responsible for wildfires. Every year they talk about the Oregon Department of Forestry responds to about 1,000 wildfires, and they, you know, and if they find who did it or who ended up causing it, if they were negligent or malicious, they try to get reimbursement. And they haven't been very successful in recouping those costs. You get about 1,000 people, but, you know, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Okay, yeah, so you got about 1,000 people that have set numerous fires, and, you know, they've only had just a handful of thousands of dollars from these people because they have no money and assets. And also, what about the wildfires and the fires that are started by bums? Oh, yeah, I'm sure ODF is going to be able to recoup a lot of money from them. Oh, I don't know. That story just kind of got me going. Let me talk with Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you doing this morning? Welcome.
Doing pretty good, thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, on the 25th of September, I went to Klamath Falls to catch the train. I had needed to go to Portland. And we get there, they say the train's going to be late. My dad had driven me there. I'm like, oh, Dad, go. The train's always late. Don't worry about it. He refused to go. An hour later, they say, well, it's going to be 3:30 in the afternoon. And then it's 4:30.
Uh-huh.
And finally, he drove me to Portland. But So I'm in Portland, and I look it up to find out exactly what happened. 17-car train derailment, 14 people injured, not including the driver. They hit a water truck on the track.
Oh, wow.
And there's no sign of any mechanical issue or it being stuck on the track. It looks like it may have been kind of a murder-suicide pact kind of thing, but he didn't die. He was just critically injured.
So the water truck guy, they think, actually intentionally parked and left it on and just stayed on the track waiting for Amtrak? Really?
That is what it looks like.
Wow. You know, I've heard not a peep about that story. How did that manage to happen?
Well, because Amtrak is heavily subsidized by the government, and it's Joe Biden's pet project. And what did they not want us to know? That 17 cars went off the track.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ended up having to be driven then to Portland instead.
Yes.
Okay.
And then 2 days later, when I was supposed to be returning on the train, they still did not have it fixed.
Really? Even at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. The 25th was when I was supposed to leave. The 27th was when I was supposed to come back, and there was still no train.
Yeah.
And so I ended up catching a flight home. I found it very interesting that a wreck of that size, with people being injured, they were dropped off in some little town. I don't recall the name of the town, but it's in the news story. The only thing I was able to find was a local news story on television. And they're interviewing people who are standing there waiting for a bus. They don't know what kind of bus. They don't know when it's going to show up. It was a fiasco.
It's interesting, a story like that that you would think would get better traction, and yet not a single word, not a word about it. But yet, well, I can also even apply that to what has happened with people trying to get the truth of what happened to the Klamath Dam removal, you know, getting out there.
Absolutely.
Have you noticed how everyone, and I'm talking about everyone, KRRC must have the best or the most Google-licious, if you want to term it that, you know, the search engine optimized kind of propagandists working in their PIO department ever, because everything they put out got reported uncritically as the river runs looking like Nestle Quick and the wildlife avoid the river because it's so dirty and filled with clay right now. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what crossed my mind. It's like, this is somebody, honestly, I think this is, think about how this makes Buttigieg look. Think about how it makes Biden look. Think about how it makes Amtrak look. Not a single national pickup. The only story I could find, I literally had to search Amtrak derailment, September 25th, 2024.
By the way, have you traveled Amtrak before, Chris? Just curious.
Yeah, I've traveled Amtrak a lot. I love the train. That's why I was going to take it up there, even though it's a longer trip. I enjoy riding the train.
Yeah.
And I had to go for a doctor's appointment. So I'm like, you know, if I have to go do something crappy, at least I'm going to enjoy that.
At least you'll enjoy the trip. Yeah. And there's nothing enjoyable about I-5 trip, let's be honest, right? It's just kind of... Yeah, a trip on I-5 to Portland is something to be endured. It's never something I've thought that is particularly, you know, enjoyable, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your Amtrak deal, but thanks for the story, because like I said, you know, I'm involved, you know, I have a subscription to Trains Magazine because I'm a foamer. You know, I've talked about that before, being a foamer and a fan of that stuff. A foamer is someone that slobbers because the train's coming and he has to go out and look, right? That's
yes.
me.
Okay, I suffer from that as well.
Yeah, I'm a foamer. and I think it happened back when I was a kid because my grandfather, my grandmother and grandfather on my mom's side lived next to the Pittsburgh and Lake Erie Railroad tracks on Monongahela River in Elizabeth, Pennsylvania. And the trains were always coming and going out of the steel mills and the coil steel and the coal and the coking plants that would go by. So, I mean, it's like the house was right next to it. Every time the trains would come, the house rattles and everybody else would be irritated, and I would run outside and look. That's what I would do.
I lived about a block from it wasn't Amtrak. It was the cargo trains and such. Mm-hmm. And I knew what their schedule was, and I would literally go out and sit on the front porch, and it was just wonderful and watch the trains and listen to the trains. So yeah, so I'm a foamer too.
Okay.
I love the train. So it was really a bummer.
Yep. Oh, well, maybe next time, but thanks for the call. Thanks for the update on that. I didn't know. Wow. That's really something. 7:55 KMED 99.3 KBXG. Appreciate you being here on the Bill Myers Show. You have a chance to, I don't know if you do a lot of blog reading on the weekend or you catch up on reading. I don't know if you're retired or whatever, but I like to keep you plugged into people who I think have very interesting points of view. And I've never really talked about this guy who has a blog. His name is, well, it's the Vlad Tepes blog, vladtepesblog.com. It's Vlad, T-E-P-E-S, blog.com. And they write a lot about culture, Western culture, protecting Western culture. You will never find anybody from Vlad Tepes' blog invited on mainstream media because they are way too protective of Western civilization. And the standard these days is that Western civilization is the source of all evil. And what Vlad Tepes' blog had the other day by one of their posters, Eeyore, I love that, Eeyore, thanks for noticing me. It was called A Short and Partial List of Common Marxist Terms and a Translation to Reality. It is one of the most interesting encapsulations of the woke Marxism and critical culture. And every time you hear everything from critical race to critical, you may have heard me bring a term up yesterday when we were talking about the river and the jet boat situation. And I called it the critical river. The critical river situation as it is. And let me just share a little bit about what Eeyore says. Eeyore is saying, communism is not much more, if anything at all, than a system for attacking and destroying Western civilization at every level at which Western civilization operates and exists. More than we are even aware of, he says. Every aspect of our nature, from our forms of reasoning and cultures, as well as institutions and professions which support our systems, from medicine to engineers, pilots to teachers. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals is an excellent manual on how to use orthodox Marxist methods adapted to the early 20th century. And a lot of these methods can be said to be a subset of critical theory. Now, you may have heard that term, critical theory, and a lot of people don't know what critical theory is, unless maybe you studied it in college, let's say, but E.R. writes, at one level, critical theory is really simple. It's just criticizing everything about the West, dishonestly or partially honestly, meaning that you're spinning a real thing into something totally other than it really was, to make the West, and especially the United States, look bad, or even honest criticism in an emergency, so to speak, meaning that when a narrative attack isn't available, but in nearly all cases, critical theory is a fictional version of the target and then a critical theory attack on that fiction. It is because of this that we notice that the media would sustain a rabid feeding frenzy over any non-white person killed by a police officer, either due to no fault of the police, like with George Floyd, or when the person who was shot richly deserved it, as they were in the process of committing a violent crime. Even more importantly, that when a person who could be labeled as a black person was killed by police for reasons that were likely genuinely racist, there was little to no media and certainly no major protests or riots. And this is 100% sensible when one understands that the idea is not to make the system better. The idea is to destroy the system. When people protest a real problem, there is a solution that makes things even better than they were before. But when the problem is a fake problem, the solution the rioters want, defund the police and such, that's the only option on the table. Therefore, when we look at the way we're forced to look at race relations now in the West, particularly in the United States, we can see and understand it as a product of critical race theory, a critical theory attack on the West by attacking people of European ethnicity as guilty of any number of things for which they have no connection. The communists now in control of the schools are becoming more bold now, and they use the term critical race theory more openly. That's what it is. A branch of Hegelian dialectics as interpreted by Marx and redefined by the Frankfurt School tactician Saul Alinsky. As we often say, though, with the left, the point is never the point. The revolution is always the point. And I think we always have to make sure and understand that. The revolution is always the point. Multiculturalism, well, that's essentially critical culture theory. Like BLM is a Marxist expression of critical theory by creating a confrontation between black and white people with the intention of destroying both ultimately, but white people destroyed first. Multiculturalism is exactly the same thing. You bring in people from different cultures, pretend to the host country that bringing in different cultures really just means interesting new recipes and sophisticated new arts and entertainment. Kind of like the Ashland way of looking at the world, right? But the reality of multiculturalism means giving special protection to people from outside the host country to protect their cultures while removing basic, even fundamental rights to the citizen of the host country. You see that playing out in the United States. It's really seriously playing out in the UK, where, you know, to criticize the outside cultures being brought in, you know, people go to jail for that right now. We're not going to jail for that yet. Then there is climate change, critical climate theory. This one, Vlad Tepes' blog ended up saying required an extra twist, required moving from science as a method of understanding to scientism, where Marxist politicians tell you how the universe works. It's kind of a Gnostic cult of the white coat. Science is never done by consensus. Politics and religion are, and in the case of communism, even that consensus is imposed from above. So that's another example about how even the climate change racket is, you know, part of critical theory, critical climate. Another really interesting one is SOGI, sexual orientation and gender identification, gender-affirming care, critical sex theory. Destroying how people think of each other in terms of sexuality is a major victory for communists. After all, without reproduction, we go extinct. And yes, that is a victory for communism by some interpretations of communist theory. There are leftist groups across the West now that actively and openly seek human extinction, but as a rule, just for white people, or more accurately, anyone who supports Western civilization of any race or color, as they'll be labeled as white people and treated as such. And Larry Elder, of course, is a very good example of that. There's also DEI, critical institution theory, or critical merit theory, the destruction of merit. I mean, there's a whole lot more to this, but that's, you know, even that's why I brought up that term yesterday when we were talking about the jet boats on the river. This is critical river theory. You take everything about the river that has ever been known, the way it's always been used, the beneficial use of the water, the multiple uses, and you have to criticize that, not to save the river, but to destroy the uses of it. So I look at the attack on the consensus process attack, which, by the way, is part of that critical race theory and also communism, you know, essentially what they're trying to do here, this whole consensus process, to get you to believe a falsehood that somehow, you know, the public use doctrine of keeping the river usable by all is just going to destroy it, and it must be destroyed. And now, and it's ultimately about destroying your use of it so that they get to use it for their purpose, which is the scenic Wild River, which has been the push there for a long, long time. But they generate a falsehood about the river that somehow that they, you know, there's just going to be blood in the water. Blood in the water because of the multiple uses here. It's the same kind of battle that they've used for everything else. Gender, climate, it's all there. And, of course, DEI. And I think when we got to start using that term more often because it's the same method. They use the same method everywhere, okay? And I'll put a link to it in my blog today, but it's on VladTepesBlog.com. There's a lot more to it. I just kind of touched on it. But basically, you know, what the left is calling it and then what it is in reality, okay? A short and partial list of common Marxist terms and a translation to reality. Worth your read this weekend so you understand what you're continuing to deal with and so you can fight it. You have to recognize it.